Bravest man in the house this morning, Stuart Smallwood. Praise God. Does anybody have a Bible with them this morning? Because we might use it today. Hallelujah. I want to continue on a message I preached last week. Some people thought the message last week was pretty good. What I did is I was talking last week about how when I came to America, I was somewhere out west, and I fell in love with my favorite breakfast at the time. My favorite breakfast was coffee and pancakes, and how the Americans are so good at both. The English, we don't make very good pancakes. We just make kind of a crepe-looking thing, and crepe. And our coffee, especially then when we first came in 1978, was terrible, a little bit like American tea. And it was that bad. It was that bad. So anyway, so last week I invited one of our young men to join me for breakfast, and I offered him a cup of coffee. And just for those of you that weren't here last week, to demonstrate what I'm talking about, this is a cup of coffee. Doesn't matter what you think it is. That's what it is. You can smell it's coffee. It's definitely coffee. It's a cup of coffee. And what I was speaking about for the last couple of weeks has been how the Bible is very emphatic about the blessings of God upon our lives. The Deuteronomy 28 has clearly classified the blessings of God that have come to us because of Jesus Christ. They include being blessed in the country, being blessed in the city, being blessed in the storehouse. They talk about being blessed of everything you do, whatever you put your hand to will be blessed. The fruit of your womb will be blessed. You'll be blessed coming in. You'll be blessed going out. You are the head and not the tail. This is the blessing of God, Deuteronomy 28, the first 15 verses. However, after that, there's 50 verses of curses. And many Christians, they love to look at the curses because they still can't get away from the fact that they are not cursed. But that I'll explain a little bit more depth another time. The reality is, the Bible says in Galatians chapter 3 that we have been redeemed from the curse of the law. So therefore, there's the blessing of God or there's Jesus. So therefore, in other words, there's Jesus and Jesus. And how it is that so many Christians are not living in the blessings of God. And so I am determined in my spirit as the pastor of this house to begin to speak to people about how to begin to move into the blessings of God. Now, before we go any further, those of you who are visitors here, if you look on the purple piece of paper, in your whatever the heck those things are we hand out at the door, bulletin, you can see on the back is a reading program and some of those scriptures I might be using today. If not, they are there to help solidify the thought. The first one at the top of the page you may see is Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2. And it clearly says, "For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith." Not being mixed with faith. Therefore, I am about to enjoy this cup of coffee. Not. You see, a lot of people, you can come to church, you can hear a sermon, maybe you go to a church where there's a good preacher. And therefore, you can hear the word, you can read the Bible, and all these things, and you hear about the promises of God and the blessings of God and the blessing of salvation and the goodness of God and everything He wants to give you, but you're asking yourself, why am I not experiencing it? I tell you why, is you are drinking a cup of dry coffee. Because dry coffee, although coffee was designed as a refreshing beverage, that if you're thirsty, it will quench your thirst. Actually, being as if it's a good old cup of Starbucks, it'll also give you a bit of a whey in the morning, which we all need. And the reality is that that's what it's designed to do, but it will profit you nothing if it is not mixed with faith. And what I'm saying is too many Christians have no idea what biblical faith is. Which is what I want to talk about for the next several weeks. So there's your visual. A cup of dry coffee is your order. Now, let me say something about the Bible. I believe the Bible is divinely inspired from the 66 books of the Bible, from Genesis to Maps. And I think that we, each and every one of us, need to understand that this book is a divine, it has been written over a period of 1,500 years by some 40 authors. And trust me, if you know it reasonably well, you'll realize just how divine it is, how it talks about the progression of the kingdom of God, and how it does not contradict itself when you understand it. But the point is, it is full of promises. It is full of promises. The Bible says that all the promises of God in Christ Jesus are yes and amen. They're not yes, yes, and no, no. They are yes and end of conversation. That's what the Bible says about the promises of God. So if the promises of God that I will live in abundance, that the promise of God that he wishes above all things that I would prosper and be in health, but then it says even as your soul prospers, as your soul prospers. One of the problems with Christians today is they have what I kindly call lazy souls. Lazy souls. You can work hard, but your hard work will profit you nothing, because unless you allow your soul to be renewed and your soul to be saved, the Bible says in the book of James, receive the engrafted word. It actually says, with all meekness, humility, teachability, with all meekness, receive the engrafted word that is able to save your soul. So what is your soul? Your soul is your will, your emotions, and your intellect. Your will, your emotions, and your intellect, that's what needs to be saved. And so all of us, we need our emotions to be saved. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. Why is it that so many of us don't go to the prayer meeting? But if we did go to the prayer meeting, if we did go to the prayer meeting and we prayed and asked God to supply our needs, to improve our health, to build our relationships, to deal with our anger problems, to get rid of our lust problems, if we were to go before God with all these situations and yet somehow nothing changes, then obviously there's one thing that's happening. We are praying to God like a dry cup of coffee, that we are not praying in faith. We are not praying in New Testament, biblical, sound faith. The scripture says, without faith, it is impossible. Somebody say impossible. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For those that come to him, this is Hebrews 11:6, those that come to him must know that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And the only way we can diligently seek him, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, is by faith. So the reality is, I want to say this morning, and this may shock some of you, God does not answer emotion. Oh, God, help me! He'll hear it, but he's not obliged to answer it. Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. And the promises of God did not come to those who heard it because they didn't mix it with faith. They mixed it with emotion. So emotion will not move God. Emotion is not going to change his heart. Emotion is not going to change his mind. We need faith. So what is New Testament faith? Let me say this for a start. You cannot make yourself believe. Faith is not something as if you're trying to, you know, you're trying to believe. That is not faith. That is hernia. And so the reality is we need to know what biblical faith is. And until we get this faith, we are not going to make a difference to our lives. How many Christians have you met that have been following the Lord for 5, 10, 15, 20 years and are no different than they were 5, 10, 15, 20 years ago? The reason is they've slipped into a tradition. They've slipped into the philosophy of Christianity instead of moving forward and growing in faith. So faith is something that you need to build and develop. So let me say this, Pastor Ephiel, was here, and I want to pinch a couple of his one-liners because they were outstanding. This man is living by faith in Zambia, in Zimbabwe. He's living by faith at 40,000% inflation. Yet he's got one of his daughters in college in Tulsa, Oklahoma. He's got another one of his children in Hillsong's worship school in Sydney, Australia. And another one of his children who is teaching English in Beijing, China. Now you ask me how he does it. He does it by faith. Because he knew that his children would be blessed. And he has been speaking that over his children his entire life. That man, he knows he's the head and not the tail, even though he comes from a poverty-stricken country. In fact, if you were to look at the statistics, the ones I'd quoted earlier from 2005, he probably is coming from the poorest country in the world. And so the reality is faith. Faith is a lifestyle. Until you begin to live a life of faith, until you begin to develop faith and build faith and live faith every day. Remember, the Bible says that the just shall live by faith, that without faith, it's impossible to please God. Are you every morning getting up in faith, going to work in faith? Are you every morning developing your children, your relationships, your marriage? Are you doing it by faith or are you doing it by emotion? That's why you're so tired. That's why you get so frazzled. That's why you get so dry inside. Many people have been coming to this church that I know personally for years and they feel like they're dry inside. They feel like they're dying inside. Why? It's because they're drinking coffee and there's no water in it. They're hearing the promises of God, but they're not mixing it with faith. Therefore, they're not being satisfied. Are we okay this morning? We need biblical faith. So let's begin to go there. We don't have a lot of time. We have about 25 minutes, a little over. So let's move fairly quickly. First things, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. It doesn't matter what you know about God. If you don't mix it with faith, you are wasting your time. This is why people are legalistic. They get legalistic because they know the Bible, they're scripture snobs, but they don't have faith. Are we okay? Did everybody hear that? Don't come quoting the Bible at me unless you mix it with faith. Don't give me some dry scripture. That just makes my need even worse. You must mix it with faith. Stay with me, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says this emphatically. You may think I'm in an emphatic mood. You ain't seen nothing yet. Verse 12 says, no, we have to go further back. All right, let's start with verse 9. Have you heard this before? Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. That quote, of course, is from the Old Testament. It's from the book of Isaiah. And many Christians know that voice, that verse, but they forget that it is not a New Testament promise. It is an Old Testament reality before the promise was revealed, before the mystery that was kept hidden from ages and generations, but has now been revealed. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. So therefore, let's read it again. Eye has not seen, and ear has not heard, and nor has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. Therefore, religious people say, oh, the ways of God are mysterious. Oh, the ways of God are hard. No, they ain't. Next verse. It says, but God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. Are we okay? We're no longer in the dark. We're no longer in the dark. It's not no longer a mystery. The mystery has been revealed. It's Christ in us, the hope of glory. So now we need to say, okay, what's the mystery all about? I'll tell you what it's about. Read the thing and you'll discover it. Here we go. Verse 12, now we have received not the spirit of this world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Can we just take a moment? That we may know the things that have freely been given to us by God. Does or doesn't the Bible say it is the Father's pleasure to give you the kingdom? It doesn't say he'll give you, oh, a few leftovers, a few scraps. It doesn't say, you know, just a spoonful of grace helps the sin go down, the sin go down. No, it talks about an abundance of grace, hallelujah. It talks about the gift of righteousness. So therefore, as long as you think you're a dirty, rotten, lousy sin, let me tell you this, a Mike Petzerism. Don't keep telling God about your sin. Why don't you start telling your sin about your God? And this reality is what begins to change your approach to his life, which has already freely been given unto you, according to what I've just read. It's also in the book of Romans. It's also in the book of 2 Peter chapter 1. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of him who's called you by glory and virtue, that you are now partaker of his divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust. Escaped it? Escaped it? Oh, you mean to tell me I've escaped it? You mean there's no more excuse for my sin? Uh-uh. Sin has no more dominion over you. Okay. If you don't like the gospel, you're in the wrong church. Hallelujah. Let me read again. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God. Do you know the spirit? Do you know him? Do you have communion with him? Or is it still some theological thought? That he might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches. These things we also speak not in words which you can get from Bard College, Yale, Harvard, Oxford, Cambridge, or Kingston High School. Which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual with spiritual. Here we go, verse 14. 1 Corinthians 2:14. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Let's go there. The natural man cannot receive of the things of the Spirit of God. Before you understand faith, you must understand you are a triune existence. If you read 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, it talks about God preserving us whole, holy, W-H, holy, not holy, holy, spirit, soul, and body. You are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a meat box. You have a spirit. Excuse me, you are a spirit, made in the image and likeness of God. He's a spirit, you are a spirit. You have a soul, intellect, emotions, your own will, free will. And you live in an earth suit. Because if you don't have an earth suit, you will leave. Okay, so the reality is the natural man. Well, what is the natural man? The natural man isn't the earth suit. The natural man is a meat box. The Bible says the body without the spirit is dead. It doesn't have a life of its own. So therefore, we have a body. The body, of course, isn't relevant, even though we spend all of our money on it. But that's not the point. And so, you have a soul. Remember, God made man, breathed in him, and he became a life-giving soul. Your natural man cannot receive of the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolish to him. So therefore, when the Bible says, given it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over with men given out of your bosom, you don't believe it. Because you can't receive it with your natural mind. Your natural mind cannot receive that because it's foolishness. It's foolishness. What do you mean, give? And it? What do you mean, give? That if I want something, I have to give? Yeah. That don't make sense. Who the heck are you to judge God's way? You see, your natural man cannot receive of the things of the Spirit of God, because he's not talking to your natural man, he's talking to your spirit. This is why you must be born again. Before you're born again, everybody's dead. I know we struggle with that. Do you remember the beginning God said, listen, buddy, don't eat that, you're going to die. He said, yeah, yeah, watch. And he's such a smart aleck because he didn't go, huh? He didn't realize he was dead. As soon as he disobeyed God, he died. And he now, as a dead spirit, birthed every human being from that time on dead. That's why the Bible says you were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. This is why the scripture says that you are dead in your trespasses and sin. and this is the reality, that we're all born spiritually dead. Our soul is alive, but alive to what? Alive to everything except God. Come on, somebody nod with me this morning. I know it's a lot, but that's why we invented CDs. Please, I want you to hear this. I've got to go with this flow because I can't slow down, all right? The reality is for the last 58 years, my soul has been communicating with whatever my soul has been informed with. And my soul is a useful thing because my soul used to be a production engineer. Therefore, I needed my intelligence for that. My soul used to do this, that, and the other. Okay, so we need our soul to communicate with the world. But I want to say something. Your soul has also been educated in emotional mayhem. Emotional mayhem. Take the most common one among men, anger and lust. Anger and lust. You were trained to get angry. You were trained to get angry. Slowly, it begins to build. And you know what you do? The Bible says that you become a servant to whoever you yield your members to obey. So therefore, you yield to the spirit of anger. You fight back. You defend yourself, self-righteousness. And the next thing you know, you're just an angry young man and you're going nowhere in life. Lust is the same thing. You feed yourself lust, you get more lust. You sow to the flesh, you'll have the flesh reap corruption. It's endless, it's endless, it's endless. That's why you need your soul to be renewed by the truth. But you can't receive the natural man, the soul cannot receive of the things of the Spirit of God because they're foolishness to him. So therefore, your natural man has to be informed by your spirit man. Okay, here we go. Now, let's go to Romans. Hey, yay, 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 yay. Moving along, but not moving. Probably would help if I was not looking at the marriage makeover notes or the leaves and roots notes. Or even, this will do. Praise God. Okay, faith is not a form, it's a way of life. Real Bible faith that pleases God is from the heart. So let's just for a moment think, well, what is the heart? The heart is not obviously this pump that's in your chest. Your heart is your inner man, okay? The scripture says that if you confess with your mouth and believe with your heart the Lord Jesus, you will be saved. If you confess with your mouth, if you confess, it's so important for your mouth and your heart to be one. This is why I loathe foolish jesting. Now, I tell jokes, I act a fool, but I don't ask my kids. Ask my kids. I've never, ever once, them growing up, have been sarcastic to them or told them about things that don't exist, like tooth fairies and Santa Claus. So therefore, every single time I open my mouth, they trust my words. Children, help me. Am I right? Every time. I've trained them for over 20 years that every single time I open my mouth, they believe what I say. Whereas a lot of kids, they don't believe what you say because you've been joshing with them for 20 and 30 years. You've been winding them up. And after a while, they go, do you mean that, Dad? And you're saying, yeah, given it shall be given unto you. Good measure, prayer. Yeah. You see how important it is that your mouth and your heart stay in agreement. It's so important. That's how faith begins to build. That's how it begins to develop. I always talk about one of my daughters who, when she was little, when we lived in Jerusalem, we had an American fridge, thank God, that was about this high, and she was a toddler of about, 14, 15 months old. And I remember how she'd put her on the fridge and say, okay, Alice, jump. I'll catch her. Yeah! And she knew she could rely upon her father's words and his arms. But too many people, they can't rely on either because the father doesn't have integrity and maybe his arms have let him down before and therefore there's a suspicion in that person and that suspicion is that they're now going to say jump but not catch them. And God is not like that. When God says jump, take a step of faith, he is there for you. When his promises are yes and amen, he means it. But the trouble is we don't trust him. We don't trust that spirit when it speaks to our heart. We don't trust that spirit because we are trained in this world, and this world is negative. This world is full of suspicion and lying and thieving and cheating. So therefore, the natural man needs to just be renewed by the Spirit of God that comes from your heart to re-educate us. Okay, let me give you a few more. I know this is a lot, but I'm just going to tell you. Let me say this. Salvation does not start in your flesh. Salvation starts in your heart. Am I correct? When you got born again, nothing changed on the outside. It changed on the inside. And then slowly the outside got in line with the inside. Am I correct? Okay, healing doesn't start with the outside. It starts with the inside when your spirit man receives the healing. I am the Lord God that healeth thee. Should I jump off the fridge or not? I will put none of these diseases that I put on the Egyptians. Shall I jump off the fridge or not? Because when it comes to healing, what happens is we're sick, and yet we know that He is the Lord God that heals us, but we can only know it in the Spirit, because the natural man cannot receive of the things of the Spirit of God. So therefore, if my spirit is where my healing comes to, are you okay there? Can you see that? My spirit is what receives the promise of God. My spirit man receives it. And then my soul has to agree with it. Don't worry, I'm going to teach this for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks until we begin to get it. So therefore, if you've been sick and somebody prays for you and you start going, oh, I'm feeling a little better. Praise God. That isn't faith. You're feeling better. Help me now. It isn't faith. You're feeling better. But what happens if somebody prays for you and you get the promise of God and suddenly you feel worse? What are you going to say? Oh, I feel worse than yesterday. Hang on. What are you agreeing with, the circumstance or your spirit? Are you agreeing with the circumstance or the promise of God? You see how faith works. This is how faith works. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Faith. I'm getting pretty thirsty preaching this message. So I think I'll have one of my favorite beverages, Diet Pepsi. Or the do-gooders, you shouldn't drink that stuff. It's not what goes in your mouth that defiles you, it's how much goes in your mouth defiles you. Okay, so who here believes there's a Diet Pepsi in that fridge? Come on. Come on, I want to make sure that there's... Who here believes there's a Diet Pepsi in that fridge? There's unbelievers in here. Man. So I'm going to go over and get a Diet Pepsi. Now, on the way to my thirst being met, the natural man kicks in. Oh, I wonder if it's cold. I wonder if the fridge works. I wonder, because I don't like lukewarm Pepsi, do you? Lukewarm Pepsi. There's always one in the crowd. And so, you go to the fridge and you go, Pepsi, good. Yeah, we believe that. Cold Pepsi, essential. And so, just before you go to open it, of course, you get spiritual. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for the Pepsi in the fridge. I believe for the Pepsi in the fridge. I receive the Pepsi. Oh, open that stinking door, man. What's the matter with you? Wait a minute. Maybe I bind the spirit of warm in Jesus' name and I loose the spirit of cold. And we get over spiritual warfare of the dumbest, stupid things. It's a fridge made by GE. Open it up. Grab a Pepsi. open it up and have a good old slug. Oh, mate. Oh, it's not only cold, it's got a little ice in it. That's cold. Okay. That was an obvious example. Let's think of a dumb one. Excuse me. Okay, who believes this choir stall? Who believes this choir stall is made of wood? Okay. Who believes I've got $5,000 in my pocket? That's amazing. Now, thank you. Did you get the clue there? Sheldon checked out what the people with the best relationship with the Father were doing. He looked around and went, the Geralds believe he's got $5,000 in his pocket. I remember earlier somebody saying that my kids always believe what I said. So therefore, somebody's going, wait a minute, if his kids believe, then I might as well. Because there's the $5,000. Do you believe that's $5,000?
Yeah, I'll count the
hat. See, is that a 10 or 100? See? Is that just a roll of ones with a $100 bill on the outside? See, because how about if we were in, you know, Morocco or somewhere? Let me give you change. So what do you think? Do you think that's $5,000?
No. Yeah.
You don't think there's $5,000?
Yeah.
Who thinks there's $5,000 there? And a stinking lot of unbelief in there. Bob, count it. Doesn't look to be too much detail. Does it look like there might be $5,000 there? Are they all hundreds, Bob? Yeah, they look about like $5,000. What do you think, Tom? Does that look like about $5,000 to you? Pretty close, hey?
Yeah.
If we had the time to count it, but there's $5,000 there. Like I said. Now, the first thing we want to determine is you do not have to believe this is wood. You see it's wood. So you could all see by your senses and your natural man this is wood. You don't need faith to determine this wood. It's wood. You can see it's wood. What you do need faith is to receive the things that are unseen. And so the reality is, and I want to say this to you, do you know that most of us have got more faith in a refrigerator than we got in God? Now, come on, let's be honest this morning. I used to, unfortunately, I'll just say this quickly and move on. I used to work in a pub in England, lived there. Long story, but that's all you're going to hear. And I got a nickname and they called me Vaughn the Fridge. And the reason why they called me Vaughn the Fridge is that the publican, the guy who owned the place, never saw me out of the fridge. And how I used to go to the fridge and cut myself a nice half-inch slice of ham and fry 5 eggs and put them on top, drink 2 pints of milk with it for breakfast. And in the end, they could afford my wages, but they just couldn't afford to feed me. And how a reality of, the most dangerous place you'll ever stand in life is between me and a fridge. And I want to say this, we've all got a great relationship with the fridge. We know that the fridge shall supply all my needs. Oh, what we got in here? Some salad. That always works. Oh, grapes. You see, it's not just rubbish. We have some grapes. They're always good. We have some nice juice. Actually, a variety, because we're Americans. And, of course, we have some white chocolate. I love Lindt white chocolate. And I actually got these for a special reason, because for one special person that... You're welcome. You're welcome. Did I tell you I was going to get you some of them? Right, so I kept my promise, mate. Lindt chocolate. Best chocolate you can buy in America. Hallelujah, in my opinion. You dare. Because you've got to get past the fridge to get it. Okay, this is what I'm saying. Please listen to me. God does not answer your emotion. Your finances are a mess. It's no good saying, "Oh God, my bills." You're meant to say, "My God shall supply all my needs, according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." I'm not sure how he's going to do it, but he promised me. He promised me. Jesus Christ became poor so that I may become rich. The promise is, beloved, I wish above all things that you would prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. And then another bill arrives. Oh, no! So now who are you agreeing with? You're agreeing with your flesh. You're agreeing with the circumstances. And God, who I'm not sure how he does this, is just an illustration, that when he wants to bless you, he's got a basket full of goodies that he wants to bring you. And how he gets it to you, I'm not sure. You know, his angelic beings, if you like, we're coming to Christmas. He's bringing you a Christmas hamper. And you're saying, "Oh, my God, I'll supply your needs." And he's going, "Yes, absolutely." And then you get another bill and go, "Oh, no, not another stinking bill. We'll never get out of debt." Okay. That's what you say. That's what you're going to get. Now, you may look at me in that tone of voice. But the Bible says, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, salvation doesn't mean going to heaven. Salvation means you get saved spirit, soul, and body. That's what salvation is. Wherefore he is able, the Bible says, to save us to the uttermost. Therefore, I don't care what your background is, what your upbringing is, he can take you from the guttermost to the uttermost as you continue to present your body a living sacrifice. Stop thinking the way you were trained, that you were trained with a poverty mentality, or parents that said you were useless, or a spouse that said you're no good and walked out the door. It doesn't matter what has happened in your life. It's time to realize that God has made you a promise that he's going to bless you coming in. He's going to bless you going out. He's going to bless you in the city. He's going to bless you in the country. He's going to bless the fruit of your womb, and everything you put your hand to is going to be blessed, because you're the head and you're not the tail. And if you're not living it, it's because we don't believe it. Yeah. Here endeth the lesson. But that's it. I've got a lot more to say, and I'm going to be saying more next week and the following week and the week after. If anybody tries to get this $5,000 out of my pocket, I promise you, I will twist your arm up your back. Until you go, "Ouch," so everybody knows that you were trying to be a thief. Okay, let me just close on a couple of things. Please, give me 2 more minutes. The Bible says, Ephesians 1:3, giving thanks to the Father who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Okay? Where do the blessings start? In heaven. Where are they? In Christ Jesus. How does he get them to you? Not by your natural man, but when your spirit man, your inner man, believes it. This is why the Bible says, even though the outer man perishes, my inner man is renewed day by day. Why do you think the Bible says better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof? Why do you think us old guys aren't impressed with you young guys? I've been walking in faith longer than you have. That's why. And I run my marriage by faith. And my my finances by faith and my relationships by faith. And I want to tell you something. It's better than anything this world has to offer. Because it's a lifestyle. And so what I want to say is this. My spirit possesses all things. My spirit possesses it from God by faith. I walk by faith and not by sight. And then it begins to manifest. Like, what's a good example? Having a baby. When you conceive, you can't see it. You can't see it. But how many of you mums, it happened to us a couple of times, how many of you mums know instantly you've conceived? Because a miracle has happened. You're now actually hand in hand with the creative God who's actually birthed a miracle inside of you. But you ain't going to see it for 9 months, except these smart Alex that have invented all these sonograms. Which, of course, take all the fun out of it, but that's not the point. And so the reality is, just as the sower sows the seed and his wife gets pregnant, so the sower sows the word and you get faith. So without faith, without the word, without a relationship with the Holy Spirit, you are going to beg God out of your emotions for the rest of your life. And that ain't fun. Ask me how I know. I'm going to close with a challenge. I felt the Lord speak to us, not only to buy Ephiel that well that I spoke about. Any of you need to pray about helping with that financially? $4,000, but he also challenged us to read this from Luke to Jude before the new year. The reason why I'm saying Luke to Jude is Matthew, Mark, and Luke are the synoptic gospels, and they're very similar, therefore just Luke would do us. Luke, John, all the way through to Jude. It is 7 chapters a day. 7 chapters a day. From now to new year, through this distraction of a traditional time of the year. Should I say that again? Through the distraction of this traditional time of the year, so that you can begin to develop your faith, so that in the new year you've got a little bit of a kick start. Because God wants you to come to the prayer meetings on Mondays. He wants you to get the word in you, so faith will begin to rise in your heart. Father, I just want to thank you for my brothers and sisters. I want to thank you, Lord, for their lives, their testimonies. I thank you, Lord, that I know they're blessed because I'm agreeing with you. I know they're the head and not the tail because I'm agreeing with you. I know that you've blessed them with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus because I'm agreeing with you. So, Father, I thank you for my brothers and sisters. I thank you for their life, for their testimonies. Let's all stand together and just make one or two confessions before we leave. Let's say, Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you that you have blessed me, that I am blessed, not only blessed, but highly favored. I thank you, Father, that I confess with my mouth and I believe in my heart that you want to increase my faith. And that I shall listen to my spirit. And I shall hear your voice. Because your word says, your sheep hear your voice. And I am your sheep. Bah. Just checking. Father, I thank you that you do want to bless me. Because of what Jesus did. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Turn to somebody and say, I'm the head, not the tail. And so are you. If anybody needs prayer, I'm here.